numerous translations. You can actually go and look into the Greek text. Even the people who aren't familiar with Greek, which we consider to be the original language, you can go online and you can look up a verse and bring it up in an interlinear, and it will show you the Greek, and under it, it will show you English. You can compare it. You can compare it yourself. The knowledge, even of Scripture, has multiplied absolutely dramatically. Now, when I was talking to Julie, I pointed out, I said, you know, where I am now, what I do every day, was not possible. Even when we started this ministry, those tools didn't exist. Again, talking to my friend, we've known each other for decades. You know, I had a Strong's Concordance. Anybody got like one of those? Like they're this big? Yeah, like you carry them up to the desk and, you know? And I still have the one that a friend gave me back in 1976. It's all taped up with duct tape. And a number of, quote, commentaries that you have that you can dig into, expositories that you can read what people have known. But that was one thing. When I started learning stuff, especially getting into liberty and law and things like that, I can remember getting in the car and having to drive down to the downtown library and spend several hours going through there trying to find stuff, read it, look at, you know, write it down. You know, it was a day's affair. I can go through all that information and more now in an hour, easy, and more information. And the things that I do around here, I looked at Julie, I said, you know, I couldn't have done that 30 years ago the way I do it now. Why? Because knowledge is increasing. The availability of Scripture, I can come to that knowledge. It's available there. Then as I talked to God about some of this stuff, had another thought. Increasing in the knowledge of Scripture would technically be epignosis, to build upon knowledge, right? You got the knowledge, gnosis, then you can study epignosis. However, this is the end time and knowledge is increasing. What about increasing in the knowledge of God, not just Scripture, and using a Greek verb there, not just epignosis, like you can read it and you can know it, but gnosko, that knowledge that you gain by experience. Up to that point, going through all of these things in my mind, I don't know about y'all. When I do this kind of stuff, I just talk to God. You know what I'm saying? Just like I'm talking to you now. I'll just ask questions and talk, and I'll sit there and listen. And you know, well, that's crazy. Okay, fine. Not to me, you know? So at that point, all of a sudden, what had been just a lot of fun, intriguing almost, kind of got to be a bit of a downer. Because I began to realize, as you look around, when you look through Christendom, you look at our church history, go back through last week and some of the week before that, and what we've talked about, how much real increasing in that experiential knowledge of God has taken place. And I ask a question very specifically, and I got almost an immediate answer to the question. I said, Father, what's standing in the way? Okay? Remember what we've gone through for 15 minutes or so. The times of the end. These things are actually happening, and they're happening at a very rapid pace. People are traveling back and forth at a very rapid rate, and the increase in knowledge is absolutely mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. And yet, when you look at the church, why do we not see? We've got all the scripture available, what's going on, and I said, what's standing in the way? And just as plain as I'm talking to you, what I heard was the way that it's been portrayed. See, the word's going out, the book's available, the knowledge is there. But many of the gatekeepers of the truth have not increased, still doing the same things in the same way with the same revelation that was going on 200 years ago. And the people, even though it's available, are they really pressing in? I heard an interesting thing. Where's Jethro? He knows. On my computer, I have a little game called Elf Bowling. Jethro, Lola's going, yeah, okay. Elf Bowling. When you set up Elf Bowling, when do you release the ball? Are you looking at the pins or are you looking at the little mark? Those of you who couldn't hear the mark, okay? Right. Just a little computer game, probably decades old, just fun, okay? When Paul said in the Philippians, the third chapter, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I was reading after a guy who said, you know, when you think about that mark, he used the bowling example. I thought about the children in Elf Bowling. Because a good bowler doesn't look down the row at the pins, down the lane. He looks at the marks that are right up there just a few feet in front of him. He's trying to hit that mark. He presses toward the mark. God's the one that takes care of all the stuff that's going to happen and what's going to happen out there. If you hit the mark right, you'll get to the high calling correctly, right, fulfilled, satisfied. As I'm thinking about these things, how many people really press toward the mark?